NASCAR cuts here to bring these villains in all of motorsports. Folks, we are in the month of June already here in 2021. We're getting that much closer with everything that's happening, with news, with tracks going more to full capacity, upcoming tracks to be exact anyways. The new normal is creeping ever slowly and swiftly in NASCAR. A lot. A jam-packed edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast coming up, of course, for my special guest. I had to switch around special guests because I originally wanted to travel back yesterday. Actually, the day before yesterday. But instead, we stayed an extra day, got back a day later. So I had to switch up special guests. You will hear from another new member, new class of the diversity program here. Actually, just a few minutes here. And after that, I will go right through the rest of the second half schedule for the Cup Series, and that's going to be that. Of course, I'll cap it off with the EGB Helmet Sticker of the Week. Here I am once again here. I know what it is with big shows and sinus allergy issues, but I'm dealing with that once again on this podcast. So, going to have to bear with me again. This podcast will come out on a few hours before race day of the Cup Series. Everything, the return to Sonoma. Of course, I want to shout out the president of Sonoma Raceway, EG3 alum Jill Gregory. We had her on the podcast the last time there was a Cup race in California, which, of course, yours truly, fan of Martin Truex Jr. won that race there. But obviously, Chase Elliott coming off the monsoon, rainy, whatever you want to call it, what the show that was down in South of Texas a couple weeks ago. And we have the All-Star race coming up next week, and then NBC is going to take over. But look, there's a lot of, I'm going to be bouncing around here between now and when our special guest calls in. And just to let y'all in on that hook, it is going to be Andres Perez de Lara will join us here in just a few minutes. So a jam-packed episode after him. I'll be back on here to go through the rest of the second half schedule. And of course, with the repeat winners, Alex Bowman winning at Dover, Kyle Larson basically taking the field out to the barn shed and kicking everybody's ass out there. And Charlotte, and congratulations to Helio Castroneves on finally getting his fourth win. Seems like to be forever for him since getting that third one. It took him quite a few years to get that. And he finally got it done to a raucous Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And what a scene that was. Unfortunately, of course, I could not, you know, watch that race. I was on the road. Well, actually, not on the road, but I was, of course, vacation. So, I actually was not able to see the race there, but I did able to hear at least parts of the Coca-Cola 600, which a lot of people told me that, thank goodness you weren't watching that, because the broadcast that I was told sucked ass. That's from what, hey, you didn't hear that from me. I listened to a little bit of it, but it was, after a while, I kept up with it on the leaderboard, and I could have told you a lot more what's going on there between that and that. But folks, don't worry, NBC had their share of little dry broadcasts too, so I'm wondering what's going to happen there. I mean, a lot of people are complaining now about the Fox broadcast, and rightfully so. I mean, yes, Clint Moore has been a great addition to that, but I'm starting to see it's just a little pattern there with all that as well. But hey, don't worry about that. Got two more weeks. Get through Sonoma and the All-Star weekend. Next week, back at Texas, which everybody's dreading that. And then you can get try to refresh yourselves with the NBC broadcast, which is going to be a few races. And then you're going to have to deal with the two-week Olympic break there in between all that. So an action-packed summer ahead of us here for everybody, for the podcast as well, for all the podcasts really, outside of that as well. But yeah, Kyle Larson, another victory. After I get done with Andres, I'll run down the top 10 for you guys there. But Harry Motorsports has been awfully strong the last couple weeks as well. So, Kyle Larson could easily, well, he's got his second win of the year. He easily could have maybe four or five wins already the way he's run, come out of the suspension, and he's made amends. He won again in the Worlds of Outlaws already, so he's on quite the roll. Henrik Motorsports also making history, tying and making history at the same time. You're going to look to try to make it three in a row on Sunday at Sonoma, folks. So Chase Elliott winning Coda, and he's going to look to add in another road course victory on Sunday afternoon.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Our podcast back in full swing despite me battling allergies once again on the podcast. I apologize in full advance here. You're probably hanging with me. I will try to get through this tonight. I'm playing a big show. And I'm dealing with this with the weather change and all that other stuff. So you gotta bear with me, hopefully, for the we started few moments ago, so I was hoping for a full show. See how I get through this interview with Andres here, and then tipping on the music here. Either we'll be back with the second half rundown, or we're gonna have to do that a separate episode. I've been wanting to do this, the second half episode of the races, for quite some time. I wanted to do that on vacation actually, but did not get around to it, so I was stuck with this. And with all that's happened with Memorial Day weekend, and obviously with the Indianapolis 500 and Coca-Cola 600, no Monaco last weekend, so you're missing a leg of the biggest day in all of motorsports. But hey, a lot of drama played out in Indianapolis, and then don't have the full top five of what happened, but a lot happened there. And of course, a domination put on for the second week in a row by Henrik Motorsports. But I want to turn it back before he calls in. It's going to be a few couple, just like any moment now, before our special guest Andres will call in. Andres Perez de Lara from Rev Racing, part of the NASCAR Anniversary Party, will be with us here in any matter of moments now here in the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast. But last time we raced at Sonoma was 2 years ago. Of course, Mark Trishan won that. Chase Elliott was a factor in that. Of course, he had the car had issues late, and that took him out of possibly a top three finish, more undoubtedly, because he was running up there as well. So you're going to see the same thing now. Obviously, the number that I stumbled on prior to this recorded podcast is 10. 10 drivers in this field, and I'm probably going to announce them. I know Reddick's first truck tryout there, Chase Briscoe. You're getting no practice. You're going to say, this is going back to the whole math of the starting lineup. Obviously, Kyle Larson starts. We'll lead the field to green on Sunday. And it says, here you go. No experience. You're going to be racing right off the bat. So Anthony Alfredo's first time, Quinn Half, I think. There's a lot of fresh blood in this, at least on the, when it comes to road coursing out there in Sonoma, in Speed of Sonoma, I drove past maybe 6 cup haulers yesterday, and what I announced one of those on Twitter, if you have not checked that out, putting the Loose Lugs podcast on it because of their hated relationship with, well, more AJ's relationship with Rick Ware Racing. Cody Ware was one of those cup haulers that screamed past me as I was on the way home on I-80 yesterday. So there's gonna be something over there come Sunday. And yeah, Reddick Bell's first time over there. Christopher Bell, a road course winner earlier this year down there at Daytona Road Course. So anything goes, but again, cream is going to rise to the top. That is for sure. So we'll see what happens there. Chase Elliott, obviously, he's the guy right now. And yes, you know, that's saying, well, that obviously saying something. That's saying something right next to my driver. And, you know, it's either James Small hits it or they're way off. I mean, yes, they led a lapse. They came charging through the front early at Coda, but they couldn't come back through the front. Obviously, that had a scare with Cole Custer, who's also making his first start at Sonoma as well. So, I mean, you got, after a bad month of May, you got to bring a competitive setup to the racetrack. Hopefully, they'll do that, because you know the 9 has been on absolute tear ever since really his rookie year. Or even, yeah, rookie, or even his second year, because he's so smooth, and obviously his strength is getting out of the turns, exiting out of turns so strongly than anybody else. That is for sure. So, you know, it's gonna be a test of who's gonna get there. Obviously, Hendrick Motorsports is a team, the organization to beat right now. Last 2 weeks, obviously, they dominated Dover. And he pretty much did the same thing as Charlotte last week. Obviously, Kyle Larson did what Kyle Busch did not too long ago. Obviously, that was like maybe right next to Kyle. Obviously, didn't top what Martin did a few years ago there. But certainly seemed like it from watching the leaderboard and not even really paying attention to the race. But certainly felt that way. I mean, Larson led a lot. Your eventual winner, then William Byron, he led, I believe, a little bit. Chase Elliott led sub. Alex Bowman didn't lead, but he was in the top 10 majority of the day. So right now, Hendrick Motorsports is hit on something entering into this late spring and right on the cusp of summer. So right now, Hendrick Motorsports is on that roll, and I don't really see it anytime soon, man, unless, you know, unless Martin's a wild card, I think, going into this thing, because obviously, he's been red hot. He's owned Sonoma here in the last few, as I'm about to have my red light on here, and we got our caller coming in right now, so we're going to step aside, take this break here. I will cap off the Sonoma talk here when we get done talking with Andres Perez de Lara. And when we come back from the other side of that interview here, I'll run down the rest of the schedule, give you my second, well, actually, run down the second half, rest of the second half of the set schedule. It should be interesting, so we'll see what happens there. Go ahead and take our break here right now in the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Be back on the other side of the break.
EG3 and the 3Wide podcast will be back on the track after this stage break.
Yeah.
Podcast is back here on the second weekend. Actually, it's the first weekend of June. Oh, I'm just all over the place, coming back from vacation. It's okay. Eddie Gritter III, a.k.a. EG3 for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. EG3, folks. Thank you for bearing with me. Fortunately, I was so psyched. I'm still pumped up. Don't worry, folks. But very frustrating dealing with allergies and all that other kind of stuff. So switching time zones and whatnot. So, but hey, appreciate y'all for bearing with me. And once again, big episode coming out of the vacation for me from Wyoming as well. So appreciate y'all. But okay, so we got our guest on the line calling in. He originally from Mexico City and part of the Rev Racing's NASCAR Driver Diversity Program. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andres Perez de Lara to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Andres, how you doing, man?
Hi, how are you? Great to meet you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, it's nice to meet you, Andres. Appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your schedule to talk with me on a podcast this afternoon. I really appreciate that, sir. You're new to the podcast, obviously, so I'm going to let you have the floor, and then after that, I got a couple questions I'd like to ask. Andres, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how'd you end up in NASCAR with the Rev Racing program.
Yeah, so I'll be taking part in the youth program of NASCAR Driver Diversity, racing in the summer shootout. Yes, also I'm racing in Mexico, in the NASCAR Mexico, and I'll be playing both races and in the summer shootout as well. And I'll just be looking for getting on podiums and getting victories in there.
That's exciting. That's really exciting. This is reading a study up on your bio. This is your first year, and you got a lot planned there. So running the summer shootout, like you said, what are you most looking forward to? Obviously, with the summer shootout coming up here in a couple of weeks, what are you most looking forward to?
Yes, I'm very excited to it. I'm looking forward to working with the team, getting ready in the team as well, and obviously the new type of and that I'm going to be facing the U.S., these new cars that are the Legends cars. Yeah, definitely there's going to be a big challenge. I think I'm getting very prepared to it. And yeah, I think with all the preparation, like physical preparation I'm doing with and the car as well, I think we can definitely get some good results. And yes, I'm very excited for it.
That's awesome, Andres. Obviously, you're from Mexico City, so how big is racing down there in your home country, in Mexico?
Yeah, so last year, I raced in a development series for NASCAR Mexico, and I won the championship. So then that helped me a lot to improve my skills in NASCAR as well. And yeah, I got into the program, very happy for it. And yeah, I'm racing in NASCAR Mexico Challenge this year. I've had big results, I put him in my first race, and I'm very fast in it. And yeah, as well in the U.S. to be more concerned, in the U.S. to Mexico and the other side as well. And it's tough about I'll have a very busy month, but it'll be for sure.
Andres Perez de Lara here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. So far, in the middle of your first year, obviously there's a couple differences between racing here in the United States and then racing in your home country there in Mexico City. What are the differences between the two so far that you've noticed so far in your young career so far?
Oh yes, the car is very different. The cars we race in Mexico are V8s, are pretty similar to a late model, and in the U.S. I'm racing the Legends cars. That's a very competitive series. There's many drivers. The races are way shorter. Like in Mexico, we race 1.5-2 hour races, And Legend is very different. A very light car with a lot of power, and the races are shorter. And yeah, it's very different, but at the end, it helps me to one another. And if I'm fast in one, I hope I can be fast in the other.
Yeah, that's kind of a good pattern that you want. You want to be fast in every race, especially if you have fast race cars. If you're fast in one race, you definitely want to be fast in all races. That's a good trend to have on your side. Now, obviously, you're going to have somewhere down the line bad races, but those are the races right there that you have to persevere and get the best finishes that you can. But that's exciting for you, Andres, that you have a good team that can give you competitive setup and go out there and be competitive. So before I ask, go forward, what's the most popular event down in Mexico City that you are a part of in racing before coming up to the U.S.?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
My question was, what was your most popular race that you raced, took part in, that you were in Mexico City? Like, what was your favorite race?
Yeah, so in Mexico, I raced in NASCAR, maybe the last race of the championship. It was a good race, and many people watched it on TV. Also, I don't know if you know, but I started in Formula 4, in Formula Cars, and I actually raced alongside F1 in the Mexico Grand Prix. And yeah, in NASCAR, well, last year there wasn't fans at the grandstand, but this year they are back. So we raced in 2021, NASCAR Mexico. It was definitely big. There were a lot of people there, many people watching. And yes, I think many races, but especially those that I mentioned.
For us that don't know Formula 4 racing out there, give us a little summary of what that series is like, you know, Andres. You mentioned that just a minute ago there. For those of us not familiar with that series down there, how many races is that? Does it have a championship? How many drivers race in it? Give us a little bit of details about that. If you can.
Yeah, so F4 it's a single-seater racing. It's road courses. There were like 20 people racing in the series I was racing in F4. This year, they're also racing in the U.S. some races. And yeah, last year, there were 21 races across all Mexico. And like about 20 drivers all racing road courses. And I did the series alongside the NASCAR truck that I raced in Mexico, and I think I got better results in NASCAR. I like it better, and that's why I'm here.
All right, that sounds like a little bit of smaller series than down there. So that's good. Andres Perez de Lara here on the NASCAR 3Wide Podcast with EG3. That's me, Eddie Grinner III here. We appreciate Andres for taking time out of his busy schedule to visit with us. Okay, so Andres, you got into racing via your dad, who was a professional racing driver for over 25 years. Did you decide to follow your dad into racing, or what led you to that decision to get yourself into racing?
Yeah, so my dad is a racing driver. He used to race in GTs. He also raced NASCAR in Mexico. And when I was young, he always took track to the go-karting track. And I definitely liked it. So with his help, I started in some championships in Mexico, then going to the national championships in Mexico, then I went to the U.S. And from then, I have always loved racing. I started racing cars last year. And yeah, definitely, he has helped me a lot. He always gives me advices. And he's very excited about me being in this program with Vision Grace people.
Were you able to watch your dad go to a few races with your dad and watch him be successful? Were you able to do that?
Yes. I would love to go to his races. I went to Daytona, to many tracks in the U.S. that he was racing GT cars in IMSA and other series. And I got the love more for NASCAR. I was in the ovals and everything. But yes, I went to all his races in Mexico, U.S., and I really like to go with him.
And for those of you who don't know, Andres' dad, he, of course, like you just heard him, of course, he's raced for over 25 years, has an impressive resume, 9 championships, which includes a Ferrari Challenge World Championship title, and of course, what Andres just said right there, the popular race for some of the NASCAR guys, the Daytona 24-hour race as well. So very impressive, Andres, that your dad is able to compete and win all those races and bring home championships. That's pretty impressive. Is that what you want to do? Getting it, obviously you're starting right now with Red Racing. Is that your goal at some point? Is be continue to be competitive and eventually win yourself a championship or two?
Definitely, I want to go big in racing as it is. I really like road course GT, but now I'm more into NASCAR. That he raced NASCAR, but not a lot. But definitely we're going in the same way, but different type of racing. But at the end, yeah, for sure I want to be competitive. I want to win championships like him and follow his steps.
That's good. That's awesome, Andres. Kind of looking at your stats a little bit, some of your accomplishments, including last year a little bit. You competed in the McKells. I might be saying that right. I don't know. You can correct me. The McKells Trucks by NASCAR Peak Mexico Series champion. You're from last year. Also, you're the rookie of the year as well in that series as well. And then, of course, along with that same lines, of course, 2020 was a weird year for all our racing, obviously. But you were able to accomplish quite a bit, actually. A champion in that truck series, rookie of the year. And you were a 4-time winner last year, which included 9 out of 10 races. You finished up on a podium in a McKell's truck by NASCAR Peak Mexico Series. What was that like for you to accomplish not only Rookie of the Year, obviously, but winning the championship in that series?
Oh, yeah. So that is like the development series for NASCAR Mexico. There are basic trucks. They're fun. Many drivers compete.
Okay.
Like, there's very high drivers racing there. I had 9 podiums out of 10 races. My first race wasn't great. I was just getting used to the truck. Actually, was the first rookie to win the championship in series history. So that was great.
Nice.
I adapted to the truck pretty fast. Then from there, I went up. I finished winning the last 2 races. And the championship, it was a great achievement for me. It really helped me for my career. And yeah, that's why I'm here. That's the NASCAR championship I raced in Mexico, where I start to like NASCAR a lot more.
That's good. Now, how many, you mentioned that was a more of a developmental series there. How many races was in that season that you competed last year in the
10.
Okay, so that
10 races.
Okay, so that's 10 races. That's pretty impressive. 9 out of 10 podiums there. That's an awesome accomplishment there. Now, how many drivers were in that series last year?
It varied from races, but like an average, there were like 16 drivers to 18 drivers every race.
That's quite a field right there that you're going up against now. In that Trucks Mexico series, was there a tough competitor that you had to kind of like a, I'll put it like this, a friendly rivalry, that you, a driver that you had to pay attention to most to get that championship? Who was your most competitor last year that we don't know about?
My closest competitor, there were two. One was Regina Sirvent, that is now racing in Jessica NASCAR driver division as well. He's in the late model, and in Legends as well. And the other was a guy from Mexico. It was his fourth year in the series. And yeah, we were really competitive. Like many of the podiums we did, well, we were we three together. And yes, those two, especially Regina, that she had experience in the U.S. in the Legends in the youth program last year. She was really fast, and with all the experience she had in the trucks as well.
Yeah, Regina obviously is also part of the program as well, folks. So that's a name that a future podcast at some point there. So that's interesting to keep in mind. Andres, you're currently a 10th grader, right?
Sorry
about that. You're currently going to school, right? You're in 10th grade, is that right?
Yeah.
So
yes, I went to school. I'm in 10th grade. I just finished this 10th grade. I go to school in Mexico. I went to a boarding school in the U.S. for 1 year in 8th grade. I'm planning to continue studying. Obviously, give priority to racing, especially for this couple of months. But yes, I'm studying in Mexico.
Okay, so how's that? That's got to be really busy for you, going to school. Well, you just finished that, so congratulations on getting through 10th grade. Congratulations. That has to be busy, traveling-wise. Mexico, going to school, getting your schoolwork done, taking care of that first, and then taking care of business of your races. So is that too much for you, or is that... keeps your mind busy and focused on what you need to do to continue your NASCAR future.
So I'm studying right now. I'm looking for new things, maybe to combine it more with racing, like another type of school, like in the U.S. Because this summer I'll be leaving there for the program. But yes, obviously I want to continue with my studies. As I said, I'm keeping a priority to racing. Yes.
Andres Perez de Lara here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Once again, from the Ram Racing, part of the NASCAR Diversity Program. Once again, starting his first year with the program here. You have some... Actually, I'm going to skip... to obviously one of the Cup guys that you've are inspired by, obviously, Daniel Suarez. He's starting his obviously his first year with his new team, Trackhouse Racing. He's done a pretty decent job so far with them. Obviously, Daniel Suarez is a former Xfinity Series champion there. What's the most obviously? What do you most like about Daniel Suarez?
Oh, yes, he's definitely an inspiration for me. He was in the program as well.
Yeah.
Raced in NASCAR Mexico. That's like a role model. I want to be like him. I want to know and what he did. I'm trying to follow his steps. He was actually racing the same as I'm racing in Mexico and then in the program. Definitely, I want to follow his steps and maybe...
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, Daniel is definitely one of those guys that everyone loves his personality. And he's turned in some good performances so far this year, obviously, with his new team. And hopefully, obviously, he's going to get better, obviously, as the year goes on. Unfortunately, he's hit some rough spots in his Cup career so far. But he's still in the Cup Series, battling and fighting. And it's paid off to this point. And I've been very impressed with what he's done so far with Trackhouse Racing so far to this point in the season. So I'm looking forward to what Daniel's going to do and what you're going to do the rest of the year. Now, you enjoy iRacing, mountain biking, and motocross. What do you most like about iRacing?
iRacing really helped me to get used to NASCAR. When I started racing, I started road courses, go-karting, and as I said, F4. And when I started using more, I started to like NASCAR. It helped me to learn all the rules, to get used to the racing. And right now, it's a very useful tool for me. I can know the circuits before I go to warm the car. And it's part of my training. I use it a lot, and it's really fun as well.
Yeah, everyone that I talk to that I've had on this podcast seems to enjoy iRacing. They learn a lot, and some of them apply it to the actual driving, so it's not a bad tool to have as well. Now, what's your favorite thing about motocross? Obviously, that's biking. Are you competitive, or you do that for fun?
No, I do that for fun. I've never raced motocross, and I'm not interested in that. It's very fun for me. Mostly on the weekends, free of races, out motocross. I'm really into it. I really like it. Yeah, more like a hobby, more like a something to have fun. Never. Professional.
That's not a bad hobby to do. To do more cross for fun and not take it too seriously. That's good. That's good. Any other hobbies outside of racing that you love to do or you like to do, or is that it?
Well, that could be. I also like the bike. And many other things, but like those two are my favorite, apart from racing, obviously. And, yeah, that's it.
All right, not bad. Not bad, Andres, not bad. You mentioned at the top of this interview, Andres, that you are obviously still have a schedule ahead of you going in. Obviously, you talked about the summer shootout here in a couple of weeks there. Obviously, what are your goals for that? For that series and the rest of the way. Do you have any other tracks on the schedule that you're looking forward to, or are you just looking forward to the whole entire experience of getting to learn about the cars?
My goals for this season are definitely to be fast, to be competitive, get some good results with the team. Being a part of a team, working with them in the group, in the help them, and being part of it, of the program, really take advantage of it. And I'm looking forward to mostly the first race. I want to see where I'm at, and I'm giving everything I've got this summer, and for good results.
That's a good goal to strive for, Andres. Now, obviously,
yeah.
I'll be shame for not saying, obviously, Memorial Day happened last weekend, obviously. So, what did you do during the Memorial Day weekend? Did you watch any races or hang out with friends down in Mexico? Or how did you spend your Memorial Day weekend?
I actually had a race in the National Karting Championship in Mexico. It went well. I got a good result there. I was racing in Guadalajara, Jalisco, and when I finished race, I definitely was the Charlotte 600. It was a good race, and that was it. This weekend I'll be traveling to Charlotte, the big race on the summer shootout.
Yeah, you mentioned the 600. I talked about that just before you called, just about that. Yep, and it was Kyle Larson who absolutely put on a show. Henrik Motorsports has been on quite a roll the last couple of weeks. Before I let you go, obviously, besides Daniel Suarez, do you follow any other Cup guys closely, or you just still continue to follow in Daniel's footsteps?
Well, I definitely like Daniel Suarez. He's like my number one for me. Then I also like how Chase Elliott and Joey Logano drive. I think those two are the guys I support in Cup Series. Then there are many guys I like in other series and in other divisions. But yes, in the Cup Series is definitely Daniel Suarez, Elliott, and Logano.
that's not a bad driver combo right there. You have one of the best in the road courses right now, if not the best. Chase Elliott, obviously Joey Logano is the champion there. Elliott's obviously the reigning champion as well. So that those are three good picks there for Cup drivers to follow there. Yeah, absolutely. Now the Cup Series in Xfinity Series, actually the Xfinity Series. We'll be going to Mid-Ohio on Saturday. Cup Series, we're racing on Sunday at Sonoma. Andres, during your young stint, do you enjoy watching road course races?
Yes, I'm pretty. I really like races. As I said, I started my career racing road courses only, so I really like road courses and in them, obviously. I really like them.
Yeah, they definitely, obviously, COTA was very interesting. Road courses definitely bring another element, the strategy and all that, to the race as well. So, definitely it's going to be interesting. definitely going to be interesting to see what happens, obviously. And you mentioned Chase a moment ago there. He's the guy to beat right now on the road course right now, but you have other guys in the mix as well. So, Andres, before I let you go, obviously, you mentioned goals already. Anything else that you've enjoyed so far during this journey of yours? Obviously, you want to follow your dad. You mentioned that already. So, any other big goals or something that you're looking forward to the rest of the year? Obviously, you have a schedule. You talked about the summer shootout, which we both mentioned quite a bit already. Is there a specific track, Andres, that you're looking forward to the most throughout the rest of the year?
Oh, yes. Definitely I'm looking forward to all the action I'll be doing in the summer shootout is what I'm most looking forward. And also I want to say thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. It was great. And thank you very much. Hopefully, we can do more interviews soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me. But before you hang up, Andres, I'm very thankful for your time, man. We hope to do some more with you, more interviews with you as well down the road somewhere. Get you caught up on your season, and maybe hopefully by the end of the year we can chat again. Before you take off, you have social media?
Yeah, my social media is BL and on Instagram and my Twitter. I only have Instagram and Twitter. I don't have Facebook.
that's probably a good thing for you, yeah. Because Facebook, that's a whole other element there with people comments and I think that's the better way to go. Twitter, Instagram, that's. You stick with that, Andres. That's a good way to go. So, awesome.
Thank you.
Three Wide Nation, Andres Perez de Lara here on the podcast, Rev Racing, NASCAR Driver Diversity Program. Andres, again, thank you very much for your time, and good luck this weekend, and good luck this summer, and hopefully we'll do this again down the road. Maybe later this, by the end of the year, we can get together and talk again.
Thank you so, so, so much.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
For any technical difficulties there, obviously from Mexico City, has actually very good English, Andres does there, but apologize for any, if it comes out on the wrong end, a little bit disfunct a little bit, but for most of the interview it was pretty good, for the most part as well though, but very, 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 very good, excited for Andres' first year in the racing NASCAR driver adversity program there. And wanting to follow the footsteps. Not only that, is obviously his childhood hero, his dad, number one, but obviously Daniel Suarez as well. Daniel Suarez qualified very well for this last race, the Coke 600. Obviously, he started in the top 10. Which, speaking of which, there, Kyle Larson, another win, another dominant performance by a driver in the Coca-Cola 600. And I mentioned before that, before Andres called there, which was running in the top 10, obviously, and gave some notables here. Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, William Byron, Alex Bowman. Awesome. That's your top five right there. So once again, for the second week in a row, I've said it all day, or I'll say it all night as I record this, as the sun goes down here in the MHK. 100 more sports on a row, and they're all going to start right there. So this is bad news for a competition unless somebody else steps up like a Joe Gibbs racer. I'm looking at them. Obviously, this weekend with Truex, Kyle Busch, former Sonoma winners right there. They're going to have to answer the call here and get out of Kyle Busch has been quite a bit on a run here. As of late, Truex needs to get out of a slump. So, I'm looking at those guys, obviously, but we'll see. Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick both finish in the top 10. RCR 6th and 9th, respectively. Denny Hamlin 7th. Chris Buescher 8th. Chris Buescher, another guy that is put together a solid 2021 season. That's another top 10 run for him there. Kevin Harvick rounds out the top 10 there. In the 10th spot, some notables here. Brad Keselowski, a lot of media surrounding him, obviously. And the comments that he made last weekend prior to the 600. Definitely keep our nose to the ground on that one. Bubba Wallace, 14th there. Daniel Suarez, Andre's guy, finished 15th. So, again, another solid top 15 finish for the 99 Trackhouse Racing of Suarez down here. Joey Logano, 17th down here. Daytona 500 winner, champ Michael McDowell, finished 20th here. Mark Trish, junior former 600 winner. He was going to finish in the top 10, but had a tire issue late in the race, and the crew could not get the tire off of it. Truex Nation, another bad race there. 4-4 Truex there. New month. Hopefully that team gets turned around again. Mark Trish Jr., none of the better time to go out here in California to get it done. I'm excited this weekend. Hopefully, Jake Small will have a good setup underneath that car, because it seems like the last races, at least the two or three of them, actually, maybe all three of them, that includes Coda, that the setup wasn't that very good. And they tested that Coda, so don't need me to get on a little bit of a 19 rap here, but I'm just saying, you tested over there, you should be a lot better than that. And it came up very short, so we'll see what happens. Obviously, yes, Chase Elliott's going to be the guy, obviously, but the last several times that we've been to California, that 19 or 78 car has been on rails, so we'll see. It's going to be based on the setup. That's what I'm going to base it on here. If that 19 is struggling, then Chase Elliott's race to lose. I cannot, because I only see him, maybe possibly Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch led a lot of laps at Coda, did not finish it off with the win there, but I see those guys off. I see Michael McDowell, been very competitive. Kurt Busch, somebody, he's going to be starting deep in the field, and they are victimized by some engine failures in Charlotte last week, unfortunately for them. Not only for just Kurt Busch, for Ross Chastain, too. Both cars got hit with severe engine issues. Ross Chastain was the first guy out early, very early. And Ross Chastain is one of those guys that is trying to fight, claw his way into the playoff picture. Missed there. Both Ganassi cars are in that category where they need to get into the playoffs right now. Neither one of them are in the playoffs, but hey. Kurt Busch, this is a chance here where he can strike gold, where he's been very competitive out here in Sonoma. So, Coda, he was there. He made the ridiculous save in the rain a couple weeks ago down in Texas. So, I look forward to him to mix it up there. He's got ways to go to do it, like Truex. He's got ways to go further than Truex, really. Truex is starting 19th, his car number, and Big Kurt Busch has started 30th or whatever, so that's bad. That's bad right there as it is right there. So, this is an opportunity there where you need stage points. You know, looking at those bubble guys, Di Benedetto, also Eric Jones, maybe Bubba Wallace can improve on that as well. So, a lot is going on right now as the summer is approaching. It's hot here in Manhattan. It's going to be hot out there in Sonoma. I'm just coming from Wyoming. So, the weather out there is going to play a havoc out there. At least if the weather runs like it is normal time, hot, slick, you need to be good on the longer run as well. So, definitely, it's going to be interesting. That's for sure. But Henry Motorsports right now, with the qualifying draw and everything else, Shipman would be a good one, obviously. And RCR, they could possibly put up a fight as well. Tyler Reddick sat on the pull-up quota as well. Austin Dillon showing speed there. So that's another team right there starting to possibly peak into the summer here. So keep in mind that as well. Stuart Haas Racing, Kevin Harvick is stringing together some top 10 finishes as well. So I take a look at that starting lineup here for that race on Sunday. Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch. There it is. Here at More Sports for this Joe Gibbs Racing there. Austin Dillon will start 6th, Alex Bowman 7th, Kevin Harvick 8th, Brad Keselowski 9th, and Tyler Reddick, his first start at Sonoma, like I mentioned in the first segment of the podcast tonight. He's going to be starting in the 10th position there. Notables here, Joey Logano will start 13th, Daniel Suarez 16th, Matt DiBenedetto got a top 5 finish the last time the Cup Series was out here. He got that finish via Levine Family Racing. And he's going to need one of those finishes. 17th. We talked about Trucks already. Daytona Road Course winner Bell will start 20th. McDowell, 21st. Eric Almirola will start 26th. Ross Chastain, Kurt Busch, 29th and 30th, respectively, as well. So, will Chase Elliott get another win on a road course, or will somebody step up and challenge him on Sunday?
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
How impressive is that again? For Joe Gibbs Racing. Obviously, he ended up sweeping the race, the Saturday races at Charlotte. And Ty Gibbs, remember, he won the race at the Daytona Road Course. He won that one. And then he comes back over here in the Xfinity Series, does the same thing up front most of the day. And of course, the big one happened late in this race that took out a couple of contenders that included Daniel Hemric as well in that. So Ty Gibbs winning that race, obviously. We'll get into the starting lines, obviously, with the Mid-Ohio race over there in just a moment. But yeah, Ty Gibbs, another win for him, his second of the year in the 54 as well. Austin Cindric, the reigning champion for the second. By the way, no surprise, Cindric will roll off P1 Saturday over there in Mid-Ohio. As well, Harrison Burton ended up finishing in the third spot, followed by Brandon Brown, Tyler Reddick, who did double duty last weekend. They're in that 31 car after starting 16th. Chase Briscoe made a special appearance in the Xfinity Series after winning 9 races a year ago. 6th, Ty Dillon, Brandon Jones, Jed Burton, Jeremy Kmetz. Jeremy Kmetz putting together a solid 2021 campaign as well. And of course, the Mid-Ohio Sports car is next on the list. Obviously, the B&L Transport 170 at Mid-Ohio. 75 laps in this race. Noon Central Time on FS1. MRN will have coverage of that event as well. And then while I'm on that, Sunday, Wednesday's podcast will come out in a couple hours, possibly 2 hours, before green flag action in Cali, Sonoma Raceway, back after a year out of absence. The Toyota St. Mark 350 returns on FS1 PRN. If you cannot find, or you cannot be in front of the TV on Sunday afternoon, listen to it on Performance Racing Network. Kyle Larson's better at Sonoma. But he had some speed at Coda. He was really fast. And it won't surprise me. He sat on the pole 1 year, I remember correctly, with Kadassi. But this will not surprise me if he stays where he is on Sunday. But those header cars are going to be stout. And who's going to have the answer for them? Will Penske have the answer? Again, I kind of already previewed that matchup. I believe Joe Gibbs could have something for him on Sunday. But right now, Hendrick Motorsports has dominated the last two. And they're looking to make it the triple threat here on Sunday out there in Southern California. And I want to rewind back to the Xfinity Series real quick here. And they're starting up here real quick for their race on Saturday. Ty Gibbs, speaking of which, he's going to be starting front row in the second spot. Harrison Burton, Jeff Burton, row two, Justin Allgaier, Brandon Brown. There, row three, Brandon Jones, Jeremy Kmetz. Row four, I will keep an eye on Jeremy Kmetz. That's somebody who could possibly sneak and get a win. I mean, he did it at Road America a few years ago. He's a stouty little good short road course racer. I really like him. Riley Herbst, Justin Haley, that's your top 10 right there. Some notables here, Daniel Hemric, 11th, will start there. Albin Digger will roll off 12th. Noah Gregson, 13th. Nightmare May for him. He's going to have to bounce back a little bit. There, Tommy Joe Martins will start 25th. This is deep in the field. Miguel Paluto, 88 this weekend for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr.'s team. He starts 29th. And a guy that you're going to have to keep an eye on here, Josh Berry, making an appearance today. He's 98. He's in the 31 for Jordan Anderson this weekend. He will start 31st as well. So that's kind of a put a book in on the Xfinity Series talk here. I'm going to squeeze this in one more time.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Saw a familiar winner back in Victory Lane. They're off this weekend, obviously. They're not going to be doing no road course racing this weekend. But a familiar face back in Victory Lane. That's none other than that four truck for Kyle Busch Motorsports. That's none other than JH, John Hunter Nemechek, folks. That's right, 3Wide Nation. John Hunter Nemechek, another dominant performance on a mile-and-a-half track. And I believe for him, if I am right on that, I believe that is his third win of the season. I've confirmed that it is his third win of the season, and he has really mastered the mile and a half. That's where all his wins have came. Well, actually, 66% of his wins have come here in 2021. So, mile and a half tracks, Las Vegas. Was his first one in the short track at Richmond, and here he did it again at Charlotte. The dominant truck won this race again. John Nemechek bowing on his promise, folks. He said he needed to go down, wanted to be competitive, win a lot of races. He's done exactly that, ladies and gentlemen. As we take a car high and wide for the final turn here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Appreciate y'all for hanging with me despite me battling allergies. Coming back from Wyoming, hopefully I'll be all right heading into the weekend. Don't worry, folks. I'm not sick. I'm just battling allergies tonight. So back in the Central Time Zone, coming off of a very good vacation. So appreciate y'all for bearing in with me tonight on the podcast. Hopefully next week will be better. Not saying this was has, because this has picked up a little bit. This has been a very good podcast and episode tonight of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We had Andres Pereira. Andres Perez de Lara, just had him on the podcast a while ago. If you missed it, obviously this episode will be posted on Sunday afternoon, prior to the green flag of the Toyota St. Martin 350. So be on the lookout for that coming up this weekend, as we've been posting our episodes on the weekend throughout most of the season so far. But real quick, though, John Nemechek's third win of the year. Carson Hocevar, another second place finish for him. This dude has been on a roll in the past couple of races. He's really finding his footing. He finished second at Darlington while back. Now he's backed it up with another solid second there as well. Sooner or later, we might have a fresh face in Victory Lane here. I would not be surprised if Hocevar gets a win here and shakes up that grid in a truck series. I'm just saying now. So, great run for him there. In Charlotte, Ben Rhodes, another solid top five finish for him. Stuart Friesen, Ty Gillen, off Dakota, win there, fifth for him. Chandler Smith, Ty Majeski, there in the seventh spot there, finished. This is the top 10 rundown from the Truck Series race at Charlotte last weekend during Memorial Day weekend. Derek Krause, Austin Hill, and Zane Smith rounding out the top 10 there. This was highlighted by a vicious wreck on the front stretch, which included Johnny Sauter, who obviously was not very happy who I turned out of that as well. Very vicious wreck at that. Nobody, luckily, thank goodness, nobody was hurt on that as well. So, I mean, good break for the series to break right there, obviously, as their next race will be next weekend. All-Star Weekend, obviously, for the Cup Series. Texas Motor Speedway, noon Central Time, right here. FS1 will have coverage, obviously, of the race next weekend. MRN will have coverage of that. So, that's the next time the truckers will head back on the track. John Hrdlicek, obviously, is your regular season point leader by quite a bit, over second place Ben Rhodes right there. We take a look at the playoff picture right now. As a look at the really last two right now, and speaking of which, a guy that I just talked about him a few moments ago, Carson Hocevar has the last playoff spot right now. He has the last playoff spot right now, folks. Sitting there, 43 up on the veteran Johnny Sauter, Austin Wade Self, Chandler Smith, Tyler Akam, Haley Deegan, and Ryan Truex outside looking in right now. So, JH, Ben Rhodes, Sheldon Creed, Todd Gillen, the only regulars to win this year. Everybody else, pretty, I wouldn't say comfortable is the right word, but everybody's, I want to say solid right now. Unless you put together a string of bad finishes, then you're really in trouble. But I don't see it, to be honest with you. And this is straight up maybe too blunt. It may be a little bit too early, but Johnny Sauter, I don't see him as a threat for playoffs. I really don't. And maybe this is because he's declining a little bit in performance-wise, or I don't know what's been going on with that kid, but I've been hearing, but I've been listening to and watching, and proof's in the pudding, folks. I mean, the proof's not in the lie, folks. Obviously, he's had a rough, 2 years and such there for Thor Sport Racing, and it ain't going to get any better. But obviously, I mean, if he can get his stuff together, he can pull out a good, maybe a good stretch of runs here, but yeah, he's going to need to straighten up a little bit, but I don't see him as a threat. And Grant Infinger, between the two trucks that he's in with right now, the 9 and 98, obviously, he's in the playoffs right now as well with that schedule. So, shout out to him for that as well. So, we covered all three lanes in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. The Sonoma preview, obviously. Sonoma is back. I've been looking forward to this race since that Sonoma's finally, the California rules of COVID finally lifted, and they're able to get the fans out there a little bit. It's going to be some scene over there on Sunday, that's for sure. I'm looking forward to it. The chess battle, really, between Hendrick and Joe Gibbs, unless somebody else sneaks in there and gets in the mix there. But we're looking forward to it. Hopefully, it'll be a 9 versus 19 showdown. And we can see those guys go at it. Really, it was 2 years ago before Chase had his issues there in Sonoma. Barry mentioned Kyle Busch. Quite a few guys you got to pay attention to. That's for sure. We try to assess those guys as well. But if Chase Small has set up underneath Martin on Sunday, I'm looking forward to that battle between 9 and 19. I mean, they put up some great battles, not just road courses, but previous battles, like Martinsville last year, trying to get one of them to the championship four, obviously. We know what that happened there. with that. So, but right now, Chase Elliott has been the man to beat, and he wasn't really in the picture late early on, early at COTA, but as the race went on, that car just got better and better, even with the drenching downpour rain over there. So, I mean, so what it says, you got to beat the guy out top right now. I'm definitely interested. Truex has definitely been the guy out here in California. But right now, Hendrick Motorsports, I've been saying it all night on this podcast, which has been a good one tonight. Actually, a pretty long one at that. So I'm going to leave it right there at this. But last word before I cap it with the EG3 helmet sticker of the week, I'm going to go right to that. I hope it's a battle. I hope it's a battle to the best of the best on Sunday afternoon. So we'll see what happens there. 90 laps of action, possibly more. So I'm very happy that Sonoma back on the racetrack after a year of absence due to COVID-19. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens out there. So Chase Elliott, will the rain continue there, or will somebody else step up to the plate and challenge the 9? And not only that, Hendrick Motorsports for that matter as well. All right, folks, we're way past time tonight, but we haven't done a full episode in quite a while, so even with my allergies, I'm still able to get more than an hour coverage episode. So this has been a big episode here tonight or through our podcast, and I'm just going to leave you with this, folks, with the EG3 helmet sticker of the week, obviously, and this is going outside the box. Well, even though I did not watch the race, this race, but Helio Castroneves finally getting the fourth Indy 500 win, getting that off the back in the crowd. The crowd, really, all race long, I saw videos, seen the highlights. The crowd, the atmosphere was something else. I mean, we're getting back to that new normal, fans, the racetrack, and whatnot. Fans being very into the race, and they're into it for sure. Connor Daly taking the lead, crowd going nuts, but nothing that brought chills. Helio Castroneves winning that race, fans going absolutely bonkers. Helio Castroneves, no doubt, EG3 helmet sticker of the week, no doubt about it. So, man, that was something right there. The Indianapolis 500, fans in the stands last year, difference. No fans in the stands, but now we have NASCAR opening up more tracks. We're going to see down the line. And I think Michigan was on that list. I know Martinsville for sure. Martinsville, that's going to be a scene for that last race to get to the championship four. Phoenix extended as the championship race through 2022. So we know the destination for the next two championship races there as well, but great, awesome scene there, Helio Castroneves, and in between his third and fourth Indy 500 win, hasn't been, I mean, he's there, but he's kind of in the back end of the top 10, or not competitive, but here in this case there, he was there in the mix pretty much for most of the day there, and the opportunity pounced. He pounced on it and held on, and boy, that was something else right there, so no doubt. Four-time Indy 500 winner, Helio Castroneves, folks. EG3 helmet sticker of the week.
to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 Wide.